Chapter 2. The train slowed more sharply, curved north round a low hill, and snaked back west to stop at the stone depot in Waxahachie. Two men of much the same height and size got off the train as soon as the porter put the steps down. A light, cold rain was falling. Water droplets haloed the oil lamps in the station window, throwing a misty golden light across the platform. Jeff King and Thomas Trueblood spoke with the porter before they walked back to the stock car to unload two sorrel colts and a chunky roan road horse. King took charge of his roan and left Trueblood to lead the ponies down the ramp.
"Nice horse you got there. Good bloodlines. I used to ride one a lot like that in the old days in Wyoming. Called him Blue Steel. What you call this one?"
"Mostly call him Horse. Name's Pistol." While King held the horses, Trueblood lifted King's stockman's saddle out of the storage bin. Two brand-new little saddles followed. Trueblood stroked them and sniffed at the fresh leather.
"How in the world did you ever get money to buy these fine kids' saddles? They must pay their law better in Texas than in Wyoming."
"Not likely. No. Those saddles were a gift thrown in on the trade. Where's your horse?"
"Way it worked out, I didn't bring one. Seemed like it'd be less trouble to rent one after I got here."
"Expect so." King watched Trueblood putting the tack on the little green depot cart. "We'll let them store that here tonight. Seems strange you were on the northbound train. Were you headed home without Spivey?"
"Spivey? Well, hey, I hate to admit it to you, but I guess I was. I'd pretty much give up hope of finding him before I had the luck to meet up with you. And then it was getting to be Christmas."
"You got family waiting?"
"No, sure don't. But it's good to be back in your own country come Christmas, even so. Hey, now I've got something to get my teeth into."
"You don't know Spivey will come here."
"Bet you."
"You don't know he's even in Texas. Could be he's dead or in jail someplace else." Trueblood let it lie. They led the animals into a holding pen, gave the attendant a quarter, and went along to the depot. There the porter stood guard beside their luggage.
"Waiting for his dad blame quarter, too," Trueblood muttered.
The porter grinned at them. "Merry Christmas," he said. King gave him a coin, thanked him, and lifted his leather valise.
"Here, I'll load that for you."
"I'll manage," King said. "I'll get the strength back sooner if I work at it. Thanks the same. Do wish you'd help me get hold of that leg of mutton case."
"Why, sure," Trueblood said.
He picked up the shotgun case and looped the strap over King's right shoulder.
"How far you got to carry this, old son? Guess you're heading for the Hollises."
King started to explain the house was his, then changed his mind. He was tired. Tired of traveling and tired of Trueblood. Explanations could wait. "Just up the way. We'll get a horse car at the corner, and I'll show you as far as the hotel. It's called the Rogers. Good as you'd want." King picked his way across the muddy street, Trueblood following. At the corner, they stepped up on the brick curbing. Shiny wooden tracks gleamed in the diffused light, running up the hill toward town in one direction, curving back to parallel the railroad in the other. King drew his hat down over his nose and huddled deeper into his jacket. After a few minutes, a bobbing yellow light appeared along the tracks and moved toward the men.
"Consarned, worthless, flea-bit animals!"
a voice said out of the darkness, growing nearer as it spoke. A yellow-painted streetcar lurched along the line, drawn by two tall mules.
"Made us late for the train and customers waiting. Ahab, Jezebel, ought to be ashamed. What will these gentlemen think?"
The car drew to a stop on the last word. Unconcerned, the mules twitched their long ears and bowed their heads against the rain. The driver was a black man, lean and wiry, with strong, thin hands on the reins.
"Streetcar uptown, gentlemen. Only a nickel. Why, it's Ranger King home for Christmas. But you've been hurt."
"Just business, Sam. Good to see you again. My friend is stopping at the hotel, and I need to go up to the house."
"Why, this is just like Denver,"
Trueblood murmured admiringly, as the driver helped swing their bags aboard.
"All the comforts."
King didn't answer. He'd been away from Waxahachie for only